is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And to God, he is wonderful. And to God, he is precious. He is the most precious thing in the world. It's all centered around Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. And I heard that y'all had a hallelujah time last week in your gospel revival meeting. And I wanted to be here, but I didn't make it. So I had missed last week Bible class. I teach the teens at the church where I am, and last week I missed because I attended 3 nights the meetings at the 87th Street Church of Christ. And I was in a workshop on Tuesday, and I got back home, and I didn't have anything to eat, so I thought I'd get me something to eat. And one of the sisters from our church, she came in one night and said she had a wonderful time. So I know y'all had a good time in the Lord. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's about fellowshipping in Christ. It's about fellowshipping with each other. It's about sharing the gospel to those who are lost. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. It's the responsibility of the church, the whole church, not just the elder, not just the preacher, but the whole church, take the whole gospel into the whole world. Amen. So I'm excited to be back here again. This is my second time preaching at this particular church, the Stone Island Church of Christ. I really do appreciate the opportunity to be back here once again. You got some fine elders here at this church. I've been knowing Brother Jackson for quite a long time and his father. I know his father will be excited to know that his son is an elder in the church. And a great Bible school teacher. I had the opportunity to listen to the lesson, the Bible school lesson, and I appreciate it. And also Brother Burnside, who was my instructor years ago at a college here in the Chicago area. And it's good to know that he is still on the battlefield for the Lord. Amen. And so we appreciate all of the leadership here and all of the members. Now, if you have your Bibles, let me see the Bibles. All of you who have Bibles, please raise them. We are the Bible church. You know, it was Jesus that says, search the scripture, John 5:39. For in them you think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. And then in Acts the 17th chapter, the Bible said that these were more noble than them that were in Thessalonica, because they searched the scripture daily to see whether those things were so. I believe that's around about the 11th verse of Acts 17th chapter. So we are about knowing the scripture. And there is no one who should know the scripture more than God's people, those of us who are saved. So, if you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 12. And I will begin reading at verse number 31. That's the gospel according to John. The chapter is 12, beginning commencing at verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Verse 34. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abided forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" That's a good question. Who is the Son of Man? But my title, subject for this morning is Lifting Up Jesus. Lifting Up Jesus. The book of John is a very interesting book. And it is not a part of the synoptic gospel. There are three synoptic gospels. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John, the book of John, is not a part of that. In understanding the book of John, the message of the book is the Word of God. John wrote to prove that Jesus was the Christ, the promised Messiah for the Jews, and the Son of God for the Gentiles, and to lead believers into a life of divine friendship with Him. The key word is believe. If you have read this book through and studied this particular book, you will see the word believe is written many times. We find this word perhaps around about 98 times in this book. The theme of John's gospel is the deity of Jesus Christ. More here than anywhere else, his divine sonship is set forth. No man could see God, therefore Christ came to declare him. You see, what made John's gospel different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke? No genealogy is recorded. Neither his legal lineage through Joseph as given by Matthew, nor his personal descent through Mary as given by Luke. No account of his birth, because he was in the beginning. Nothing about his boyhood, nothing about his temptation. Jesus rather is presented as Christ the Lord. Not the one tempted in all points like as we are. No chance iteration, no appointing of his disciples, no parables in John, no account of the ascension, no great commission. Only here he called the Word. He is called the Creator, the only begotten of the Father, the Lamb of God, the revelation of the great I Am. You see, 35 times he speaks of God as my Father. 25 times he says, "Verily, verily," speaking with authority. Besides his own affirmation, we have witnesses about his deity. Nathaniel confessed that thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God, according to John chapter 1 and verse number 49. The miracle of Canaan, he manifests forth his glory, according to John chapter 2 and verse number 11. In his word to Nicodemus, he said he was the only begotten Son, according to John 3 and verse number 16. In John chapter 4, in his conversation with the woman of Samaria, he stated that he speaks unto he that speaks unto thee, and he, which lets you know that he is part of a great I am. In John chapter 5, to the impotent man, he disclosed that the voice of the Son of God will give light. Verse number 25. In John chapter 6, the bread chapter, he admits that the bread of God is he. In John chapter 7, in the water of life chapter, he proclaimed, let him come unto me and drink. According to verse number 37. In John chapter 8, to the unbelieving Jews, he disclosed before Abraham, I am. In John chapter 9, the blind man was told that he that talketh with thee is the Son of God. According to verse number 37. In John chapter 10, Jesus stated, I and my Father are one. According to verse number 30. In John chapter 11, Martha's declaration, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. According to verse number 27. To the Greeks, and to everyone. In John chapter 12, in verse number 32, he says, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We have to keep on lifting up Jesus. That's what the early disciples did. They lifted up the name of Jesus. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, when the church of Christ came into existence. You know, the apostles were there on the day of Pentecost because Jesus told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, according to the first chapter. And so they were there waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And the Bible says, according to the second chapter of the book of Acts, in verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You see, these are the apostles. That's where the Holy Spirit was going to come upon. The apostles. I know there are some commentaries and some scholars who said it was 120 as well as the apostles. No, Jesus was talking only to the apostles. I know he was because in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, you see, whom he had chosen. So the apostles were the only ones who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says, in verse chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible said, and they were all filled, talking about the apostles, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And so now they began to speak, being led by the Spirit of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled by the Holy Ghost, they began to speak. They began to lift up the name of Jesus.
Watch this now. You see, the way that we lift up Jesus is through preaching and teaching. We have to continue to preach and teach the Word of God in the body of Christ. And we need to take this message out into a lost and dying world. And this is what the apostles were doing. They came together on their Pentecost, where multitudes of people were to assemble. And watch Peter now. Watch verse number 14. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, what did he do? He lifted up his voice. You see, when you're talking about Jesus, you need to lift up your voice and talk about Jesus. Tell the world how good Jesus has been to you. If Jesus has picked you up out of your bed of affliction, you ought to tell somebody. Amen. If Jesus has allowed you to come back to his throne of grace, allow you, even though that you drifted away and you was out there in the world lost in sin, you ought to tell somebody how good and how merciful he has been to you. If the Lord has spared your life, you could have been dead in a terrible accident, automobile accident, and the Lord is delivering you out of that situation, you ought to tell somebody how good God is. Am I right about it? Say amen if you can. I got a whole lot of amens with me if you won't say amen anyway. The Bible is filled with amen. And the Bible says here that Peter lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. I like the way Peter opened up here. And then I want to drop on down to verse number 22. Then it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You see, they knew about Jesus. They saw the miracles, the wonders, and the signs that he did throughout Jerusalem and throughout the other areas. They saw and witnessed with their own eyes. They heard about Jesus. Amen. You see, everybody ought to know the name of Jesus. Everybody ought to know something about Jesus. And when we speak the word, we're looking up to the Son of Man. And the Bible says in verse number 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken in by wicked hands. Have crucified and slain. You see what Jesus says, when I be lifted up from the earth, he was talking about the death that he was going to have to undergo. He was talking about the crucifixion. And all of us ought to understand something about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ's crucifixion is a foundational and fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ are the facts of the gospel. The cross is the insignia of our faith. Other great men have been valued for their lives. Christ's greatest blessing to men came through his death. The cross pervades all scripture. The Mosaic
instruction foreshadow its meaning. The historical books prove its necessity. The Psalms picture its reality. The prophets describe its coming. The Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John announce its presence. The Acts proclaims its power. The epistles explain its purpose. Revelation sees the consummation of the blessings. It is often said, cut the Bible anywhere, and it bleeds. It is read with redemption truth. One out of every 44 verses in the New Testament deal with the sacrificial death of Christ. It is mentioned in all 175 times. You see, I don't know about you, but I want to hold on to the cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world be free? The hymn said, no, there's a cross for you and there is a cross for me. You see, all of us have crosses that we must bear. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. How often? He said, David, he knows what we go through in life, but he still wants us to take up our cross and follow him, David. And he also said, if you love mother, father, sister, brother, or any of your people more than me, he said, you are not worthy of me. You see, Jesus must be Lord of all, or he's not going to be Lord at all. Some of us, we want him only when we need him. But you see, you should want him all the time. You can't just switch Jesus on and off, just like you do a light switch. You can't switch Jesus on and off like you do your remote control. You see, we are in the switching business. Am I right about it? We've been switching too long. And too long have we been switching the Lord on and switching him off. We come to church when we want to, and when we don't want to, we won't come. And some even has the gall to get upset with the leadership because you're telling me the truth. You see, the truth is what's going to set us free. The truth is what calls us to keep lifting up Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, in verse number 31 and 32, he said, if ye be my disciples, continue in my words. And then verse 32, he said, ye shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, it is the truth that will set us and free us. The word of God is truth. That's why in John 17, he says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I believe that verse number 17 as well. No wonder Paul told Timothy a long time ago. He said, preach the word, be instant in season. In our season, refute, reprove, rebuke, and exalt. When all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come where they will not listen. Notice what the Bible said, when they will not endure sound doctrine, for they will have itching ears, and they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth, and it shall return unto fable. So the Bible let us know that we have to preach the word in season and out of season. We have to reprove, rebuke, and exalt. I know there are people who don't like to be reproved, but reprove is through the word of God. The prophets have to reprove. They have to rebuke. Amen. And if you are a parent, you have to do the same thing too. To your children. When they get out of order, what you do? You have to reprove that child, right? You have to rebuke that child. So why get upset with the elders and the preacher because they're telling you the truth? You see? We should love the truth. We should want the truth because it is the truth that is going to keep us in Christ. Amen. And Peter, on this great day, he preached the truth. We want to go back to Acts chapter 2. There are some other things I want to bring out here. Let's look at some of the things that Peter talked about. You see, Peter talked about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. He also talked about the exaltation of Christ. He talked about the ascension of Christ, when Christ left the world and went back to glory. The Bible says, in verse number 30, Acts chapter 2, it said, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne." You see, if Jesus would not have been raised up on that cross, he would not have the opportunity to sit on the throne. So it all worked out according to God's will. And the Bible says in verse 31, "He said this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ." Here is a man who had already prophesied that Jesus would die and that Jesus would be raised again the third day according to the scripture. And you see, there is no other religion that can claim the death, burial, and the resurrection other than the Christian, other than those of us who are saved. You see, the nation of Islam can't do that. Elijah Muhammad, he died, and he's still dead. And I know they're just up the street, but I'm not afraid of them. Some of you may be afraid, but I'm not. Because I know the word of God. I know who died for my sins. I know who got up out of the grave. I know who brought salvation. I know that there is power in his name. I know that there is salvation in his name, because Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." According to Acts 4 and verse number 12, there is no other name on earth that is highly exalted. No wonder Paul told the church at Philippi. He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, he said that, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man." The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm glad that my Lord died on that cross. While he was hanging on the cross, they had put nails in his hand and also in his feet. They placed a crown of thorns up on his head. You know, they mocked him and told him, "If you be the Son of God, come on down." They even smacked him with the palm of their hands. They even spit upon him. But Jesus just held his composure. He stayed with God. He stayed as God. He didn't speak a mumbling word. Am I right about it? Yes, they took him. They put him on the cross. Even tried to give him benefit of drink, but he refused to drink it. And the Bible said, for haste and death, they had to
pierced his side. And the Bible said that once the Roman soldier took the spear and sticked it in his side, and the Bible said out came blood and water. I'm so glad that he shed his blood, because without the blood, I cannot be set free. Without the blood, I cannot be released. Without the blood, I cannot have salvation. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood, there is no peace with God. Without the blood, there is no redemption. Without the blood, there is no reconciliation. Jesus brought us back in the right relationship with God. And that's why Peter and the apostles on this day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse number 32, he says, this Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, devil exaltation, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Then we drop on down to verse number 36. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Isn't that all right? You see, they didn't know that God was going to raise Jesus back up again. That's why on our original text, the Bible said that they thought that the Messiah was going to be around forever. They didn't know that he was going to die. They didn't want a dying Messiah, but they didn't realize that his death will bring glory to him and to God. And that's why the Bible says that Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There is no one that is more attractive than Jesus. I know sometimes our bank account may look attractive, but it's not more attractive than Jesus. I know sometimes your husband may look attractive, but he is not more attractive than Jesus. I know sometimes your wife may look attractive, but she is no more attractive than Jesus. I know that your car and your house may look attractive, but there's nobody more attractive than Jesus. He is the center of everything. He is God himself. He is God the Word. And the Bible said, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. That's the rich man, the poor man, the beggar, the thief, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief. And he said, all men, that's those of you who are in sin. You need a way out. Jesus is the way. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. There's nobody who can attract the world like Jesus. Everybody else is false. Everybody else is not right. Everybody else is a crook, a robber. That's why you must come to Jesus. There is no other alternative. Jesus is the way. There is no one else who can plant a way, because the Father sent him. The Bible says in John, let's go to the book of John as I hasten to the conclusion here. Chapter 3. Let's look at something here. In verse number 14, the Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And you know, we like verse number 16. For God so loved the world. Notice the Bible doesn't say God just loved the world. The Bible said he so love the world. You know, it's good to hear sisters when your husband say, I love you. But when they say, I so love you, it's even better. It's good, brothers, to hear your wife say, I love you. But when they say, I so love you, it sounds much better. Am I right about it? You see, God didn't just love us, He so loved us. And not only that, God demonstrated His love by giving His only begotten Son. So He even proved that He loved us. You know, people would say, I love you, but they want to see what you got to back it up. You see what I'm saying? Prove that you love me. So He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse number 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So you see, church, we have to continue to stay with the Word of God. We have to continue to fight the good fight of faith. You just can't come in the Lord's church and think you got it made just by sitting down and doing nothing. You have to do something in the church of Christ if you want to go to heaven. Because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13, or 13 and 14, one of those chapters, sometimes I get it mixed up, but it's one of them. The Bible said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, henceforth, yea, said the Spirit, they shall rest from their labor in their works to follow them. You see, the only way that we can be pleased in God's sight is by having works. You know, Jesus was about doing good works.